We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this glorious day, another day of your grace, Father. Lord, as much as we long to see you, to meet you together in the air, we know that the longer you tarry, Lord, every day is another day of grace, another day of opportunity, and another day for us to serve, Father. And we praise you for your power that makes us faithful, for your word that teaches us how, for your spirit that enables us. And we praise you for all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, let's begin reading in verse 9 and just a few verses down. 1 Corinthians 15, 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. All right, let's stop there. Of course, we are here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we have been here for the last few weeks talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the witnesses to that resurrection, the scriptural witnesses to it, and the personal human witnesses to it. And all of this that we're going through here is gearing up for Paul's argument to these Corinthian believers that there is in fact a resurrection. And they're having trouble with that, and this basic fundamental truth of the Christian faith, these Christians have fallen away from, or are beginning to fall away from. So Paul has to remind them, and he tells them in the beginning of the chapter just how basic this is. He says, when I first came to you and I preached the gospel to you, this was a part of that message, that Christ not only died for your sins, but he rose again. And so he lifts off the witnesses that saw the Lord after he was risen. In verse 8, he says, last of all, he was seen of me also. So Paul now finally bears personal testimony that he, in fact, had seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of me also as one born out of due time. So that's where we left off last week. Now here in verse 9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So Paul here tells us that he is the least of the apostles. Now, hold your hand here and come over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. Next book to your right, obviously. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. Because what Paul is not saying there is that he is in any way a secondary apostle. And he is not saying that he is less authoritative or less important than any of the other apostles. When he says, we know when Paul talks like that, he says, here, I'm the least of the apostles. In Ephesians, he says, I'm less than the least of all saints. In 1 Timothy, he goes so far as to say, I'm the chief of sinners. Mm-hmm. So we know what Paul's, and all of those are in the same context. Talking about his past, that he had persecuted the church in time past, and looking at himself in his person and counting himself as nothing. And it is the grace of God that moves him to do that. As he says in our passage, I am the least of the apostles, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, he has to say, for I suppose that I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. So in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, I'm the least of all the apostles. Here he says, I'm not at all and by any measure behind the very chiefest apostles. Well, which one is he? I mean, if he's not behind the very chiefest, and yet he says, I'm the least. Look in next chapter, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. Says the same thing in verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. See, and that's the issue. Paul, when it came to his authority, he tells the Romans that I am the apostle of the Gentiles and I magnify my office. And Paul never downplayed his office, but he saw himself for what he was. A sinner in need of the grace of God. And we saw last week that where he says there that he was seen of me last as one born out of due time, that the Apostle Paul, if he was going to be saved, he had to be born out of due time. Because the due time that he was in, when he was a persecutor of the church, he had no chance for salvation. Because the Lord had already said that he that blasphemes the Holy Ghost, he will not be forgiven in this world, nor in that which is to come. So there was no forgiveness for the Apostle Paul. And there's no forgiveness for you and me. But by the grace of God. But that God introduced a new due time. A new dispensation in which he would be free to forgive people like Paul. Now, Paul says there, let's look at it again. I told you to hold it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, come back with me to Matthew and chapter 19, and we've mentioned this already recently in this study, but we never looked at the verses. Matthew 19, when Paul says there, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, he's not doing what you and I might do if somebody, you know, gives us praise or whatever, we say, oh, you know, I'm nobody, I'm not even worthy of that. He's not saying, you know, I shouldn't even be called an apostle because I was so horrible. He's stating a fact. I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Paul did not qualify as an apostle. For that reason, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. It was in the Bible this morning. Matthew 19, there it is, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? So Peter says to the Lord, he's talking about it's impossible for a rich man to enter into heaven. Yes. And they say, so the first thing they say is, well, then who can be saved? Poor people, I guess, but his answer to that, the Lord's, is that with men it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So then Peter says, well, Lord, we've given everything up. We gave everything that we had. We're not rich. We gave it up for you. What do we get for what we've sacrificed? And Jesus saith unto them, verse 28, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So here's the apostles. Here's those guys that are meet to be called apostles. They have followed Christ. They've given everything up for Christ, and they followed him from the beginning. Look in Acts chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1. When Paul says, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, he's setting himself apart from these 12, as he's been doing through this passage. When he says he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and last of all he was seen of me also, he's setting himself apart from the 12. Well, he's doing that now here again. When he says, I was born out of due time, he's setting himself apart from the 12. Here again, he says, I'm not meet to be called an apostle. I don't have the qualifications that those 12 men had. Acts and chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, Peter is getting ready to replace Judas Iscariot in verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, number of the names together was about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and hath obtained a part of this ministry. Judas was one of the 12 that had followed the Lord from the beginning. This man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity. Falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue a Seldama, which is to say the field of blood. And he goes on, verse 20, it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men, now watch, so we need to replace Judas. So what are we looking for this 12th apostle? Wherefore, of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, and ultimately chose Matthias. So you see the qualification there. What is it? Who is meet to be called an apostle? Someone who was accompanied with us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day that he ascended. That's what you needed to qualify to be one of the apostles. So Paul says, back in 1 Corinthians 15, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. I was not a follower of Christ from the beginning, before his ascension, or even after. So, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. So, Paul, if you're born out of the due time, you aren't in the right time, and you don't have the right qualifications, then how are you an apostle? And how can you say that I'm not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles? Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. So, the issue here is that Paul now, he's talking about the resurrection of Christ. And he's calling the other, the 12 to witness. But he's sure as he's doing that, talking about the commonality of their ministry, which is essentially the resurrection. That was the meeting point of the ministry of the 12 and of Paul. But as he's talking about that, he is sure to take all of this time and energy to set himself apart. Because once you get the resurrection, you get the fact, you can get the fact from the 12. You can get the fact from Paul. But then once you get that, and you start talking about what that resurrection means, and what it affects, and what's in it, then you got to go to Paul. Amen. Because you're not going to get that from the 12. So Paul is laying groundwork here. He's dealing with this very basic fact of the resurrection. But he's also laying groundwork in hopes that these people, once they get the, you know, get back to the basics again, that they'll be able to move forward. So he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now there's another phrase. Come with me to Romans chapter 1. Because, you know, we say, well, by the grace of God, I am what I am, right? There but for the grace of God go I. When you see someone who's down and out, or who's, you know, whatever, in some not good condition. That's not exactly what Paul's saying here. He's talking about the dispensation that was given to him. What qualifies you as an apostle, Paul? He's pointing out all these ways that he doesn't qualify to be an apostle. And yet he says, and yet here I am. How is that? It's by the grace of God. It's this dispensation of grace that qualifies him as an apostle. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, just like we saw in our passage. The gospel, Christ died for our sins and rose again according to the Scriptures. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. See, when Paul says, we have received grace, this grace that I received, he says in our passage, was not in vain. When he says, I received grace, he's talking about his ministry. You see what he says here? We've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. That's talking about his specific ministry. Come over to chapter 15, Romans. Romans chapter 15. verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given unto me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So Paul received this grace for a reason, essentially so that you and I could receive this grace in this new dispensation, not as the physical seed of Abraham, and not as being a part of the circumcision, but by a whole new way. When you see grace in Paul, it's not just forgiveness, and it's not just the kindness of God, and it's not just I'm just living day by the grace of God. You know, well, yeah. But when Paul uses it like this, he's talking about not by covenants and promises and by the former things that God had done from the foundation of the world, but a whole new and different way. When Paul talks about the grace of God, he's talking about this dispensation and his ministry and how the world and the universe changed through this grace that was given to him of God. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Now look, you and me, we're a part of that, changing the world and the universe by the grace of God that's given to us. We're a part of this new dispensation, and we know what's going on with it. We know the cure for this world. We know what it is, and nobody can bring it like you. And you know that, right? Amen. Grace believer. Amen. No one can bring it like you. Nobody could bring it like Paul, because it wasn't given to nobody before Paul. Galatians chapter 1. We read this passage last week. Paul says in verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." So here he brings that up again. And why? "Profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So again, Paul brings all of these elements together: his former life and the persecution of the church before, and then the grace of God comes, and what happens? He has a ministry to the heathen, to the Gentiles. That's talking about his specific calling. Look at chapter 2. "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." Drop down verse 6. "But of these who seemed to be somewhat," watch this now, he's talking about the 12 essentially, those who were of reputation, them who seemed to be somewhat, "whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. So when he says, I'm with the least of all the apostles, that's not out of some false sense of reverence for the 12 or a false humility of his. When he talks about the 12 here, he says, I don't care who they were. They seem to be somewhat, but it doesn't matter to me. Why? Because he didn't respect their office? No, because God respecteth no man's person. See, that's the issue there. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So they couldn't teach me anything. They couldn't tell me anything that I didn't already know. But contrarywise, I told them something that they didn't know, and that's back up in verse 2. I communicated that gospel that I preach. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, did what? Perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. See, over and over again, when he talks about that grace that was given to him, he's not just saying, I'm doing this by the strength that God gives me, and I keep going day by day by the power that God gives me, and that kind of thing. All of that is true. But he's talking about this ministry of his that he received of the Lord. One more. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Just to get the preponderance of these things so that we understand. We read verses like that and we attach, you know, certain kind of generic meanings to those things. It's like, you know, you're having a hard day or a hard week or a hard year, and you go, you know, Lord, give me grace. Well, do you know what that means? What does that mean? What exactly are you asking for? It's kind of a nebulous, kind of generic thing. Just what, make me feel better, I guess? Is that what we're praying for? You know, give me strength. All of that. See, the grace of God, if you understand what it is, when you understand what it is and what Paul's talking about here, then you've got something that you can base that request on. You know the pool that you're standing in front of, that you're asking God to feed you from. You're not just out in the middle of nowhere going, you know, Lord, give me strength. That there's, you want to have the truth and the understanding and the doctrine behind that, so that once I pray, Lord, give me grace, then immediately my mind goes to these issues of grace, because that's where I'm asking the Lord to feed me from. That prayer relationship of yours is reciprocal that way. So when we read these things, we don't want to just, you know, have kind of generic, passing, sentimental understandings. But we want to be rooted and grounded in these truths so that they can help us when we need grace, so that we know what we're looking for. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to, talking about sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I think that's what we want, sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God that was committed to Paul's trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now that is exactly what he's saying in Romans 1:5 when he says, we've received grace and apostleship. Thank Christ Jesus, who hath enabled me and put me in the ministry. Grace and apostleship. And those two things, they go together for the Apostle Paul. And when you understand the ministry of the Apostle Paul, they come together that way for us. Who? Watch him say it again now. Verse 13. Was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So he brings in there here that past life again that disqualified him from salvation. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So here's that grace that he received when he was unqualified. You say everybody's unqualified. All men have sinners. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, look, the 12 weren't unqualified. They were qualified to be, they were meet to be called apostles. Paul wasn't. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Paul is the chief of sinners, and yet he is saved and given an apostleship. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So everyone else down through this dispensation, including you and me, we look at the Apostle Paul, and he is the pattern. He is the pattern for the working of God in this age. Not just because he was a horrible person and God saved him anyway, there's that. But again, all people are sinners. People were sinners long before Paul, and God saved a lot of them. He saved Paul in a special way. He saved Paul in a special time, out of the due time. He saved you and me in a special way and in a special time. Back in 1 Corinthians 15. We need to understand what the grace of God is and what it does. We look at, you know, the heroes in the Bible, the heroes of faith throughout the Old Testament, people who endured, you know, I mean, read Hebrews chapter 11, just goes through that litany list of people and their faith and of the acts that they did. They weren't a part of this dispensation of grace that you and I are a part of today. We look at them and we go, you know, well, that'd be nice, you know, be a super saint like them. Listen, they didn't have the ability that you and I do to serve God and to please him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. You know, that's what we need to say. Who are we? Well, I'm not, you know, I'm less than the least of all saints. I'm not meet to be called anything. But who are you? By the grace of God, I am what I am. See, that's where this, it's in that understanding and in everything that means, that the grace of God has done for you and who that grace has made you to be. That's when we start changing the world and the universe. That's what the church is here for, to change the world and the universe. We've got opportunity in this age because God is working in this age like he's never done before. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored, watch, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now look, Paul says, he says that grace that was bestowed on him was not in vain. In here, take a look at it. Hold here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He just said, if I preached this gospel to you that you believed and that you received, unless you believed in vain. Remember that earlier on in the chapter? Paul says, and we talked about that, he's not talking about you believed in vain, you got saved, and now it's for nothing because now you're not saved anymore. He's saying you got saved by it, but you believed something that wasn't true, and because you think it wasn't true, it was true, it is true, but because you hold it as being untrue, you're receiving this grace of God in vain. In other words, the grace of God is not supposed to be something that's empty and doesn't produce anything but my salvation from hell. If that's all the grace of God does in my life, the grace of God is not doing everything that it was meant to do. I can be saved, you can be saved, like these Corinthians are, for all of eternity, saved from an eternity of hell into eternity of heavenly bliss, and still have received the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, so that's where Paul is, not I, but the grace of God that was with me, workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. So Paul says back in our passage, that grace that was bestowed upon me, it was not in vain. What he's saying is that there's a purpose for that grace, and there's a power in that grace, and there's a reason, and there's an ability that grace bestows upon its recipients. And that power and that ability is there to be used, to be enjoyed, and to be fruitful. Look what he says here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Now there's another phrase that you don't want to pass by lightly, because you read through that and you think Paul did more work than all the rest of them. Paul labored harder than all the rest. That's not what he says. It's probably true, but that's not what he says when he says, I labored more abundantly. Not just I labored more. There was more fruit. My labor produced more than me, the one apostle of the body of Christ, was more abundant than the 12 under that kingdom program. Manifold fruit from the labor of the one apostle compared to the 12, and manifold fruit of the one body compared to the 12 tribes. Our labor is more abundant. It produces more, yes, under grace. See, that's why we need to understand what this is that we're involved in, and Paul says, access it. We have access to the glory of God by faith. Being justified by faith, we have access. So we need to access the grace of God. Know what it is. Know the difference between the other miraculous, amazing things you see in your Bible, in the Old Testament scriptures and in the Gospels, and how much different what's happening today is, and how much more abundant it is. I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, we could go through all the verses, and we won't, because we know them all. Paul went through everything he went through, perils in the sea, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the city, and perils of robbers, and by his own countrymen, and all the five times beaten with rods and whipped and everything else, and just kept going and went further and further than anyone else did. But why did he do that? Because that's the ministry that grace gave him. The kingdom ministry didn't give that to the 12, so they didn't do it. It gave it to Paul, so that's what he did. I'm not saying they didn't suffer for their faith or they didn't preach. I'm saying that they all worked. This is not a slight on the 12. They all worked according to what God gave them. The body of Christ needs to work according to what God has given us and understand what God has given us and don't use things that he did in time past as a comparison or of something for you to climb up to. You're already past that. Grace has put you past that.
Thank God.
We've got greater things here, more abundant things. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, verse 11, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believed. All right, well, we're going to close in this verse here. Paul is saying here in verse 11 that he's brought in the scriptures to witness to the resurrection. He's brought in the 12 to witness. He's brought in above 500 brethren to witness. He's borne witness himself. And now he's saying, okay, so whether it was me or whether them, so we preach, we all preach the same thing. What? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not just the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the resurrection. Because it's not just the resurrection of Christ that's at issue here in Corinth. It's the resurrection in general. There is no resurrection. That's what they're saying. So Paul says, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. Now, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this because Pastor dealt with it just the other week in questions, objections people raise to Paul's distinctive ministry, and this verse is one of them. Paul says, hey, or they say, Paul says, whether it was Peter and the 12 or whether it was me, we preach and you believe. So they were Peter, Paul, the 12, they were all preaching the same thing. Paul says, it doesn't matter. Could have been them, could have been me, whatever it was, we preached it, you believed it. Well, Paul is not saying here that they all preach the same message. He's saying they all preach the resurrection. That's what he's trying to get them to believe. And not only to get them to believe, but to remind them that they've already believed it.
Yes, sir.
And look, the way you know that, look what he says. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached. Is that what it says?
No.
So we preach. And so you believed. He's not saying we preached it and you believed it when we preached it. He's saying this is what we preach. And it's also what you believed. So the language of the verse itself, never mind what we know about Paul's distinctive ministry, the verse doesn't allow for that idea of it could have been me, could have been Peter, one of us preached it, and you heard it and believed it. That preached is not past tense, it's present tense there, and believed is past tense. He's saying this is what we preach, and that is also what you believed. So again, that Paul, and just the fact of those first several verses again, close up back at the beginning of the passage. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Who preached that message to the Corinthians? Paul did. It's not whether it were I or they. Paul's the one who brought this message. Paul's not saying some of you believed Peter and got saved and some of you believed me and got saved. He tells you, I'm the one who brought this message to you. I'm the one that brought that message that you believed. What he's saying in verse 11 is that we all preach the resurrection.
Amen.
And whether it's they or me, this is what we preach. And it's also what you guys believed. Anyway. All right, so that is, well, got us through verse 11 anyway. We'll call that it for this morning. Do you have a question or a comment? All right, what you got, Dwayne?
Paul is saying that he was saved by this grace of God, saved him, though he wasn't fit to be saved. As the other 12 apostles were so fit to be saved because they
were fit to be apostles.
They were fit to be apostles in that they followed Christ. They gave up everything.
Yep.
They lived with, according to the doctrine of the kingdom.
Yep. Yeah.
And Paul was just the opposite of that.
Exactly. Right. Yes, it's not, it is not the same thing as for me or you to look at that and go, well, I'm not fit to be saved either. I understand what Paul's saying. I'm a sinner just like he was. No, there were people who were meet to be called apostles, and they were the ones who were called apostles. Paul did not qualify. He did not have the qualifications that that group had, and yet God made him an apostle. And he had to create a whole new dispensation to do it. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, boy.
Yeah, Paul was put into the ministry.
He was apprehended.
Voluntarily.
Right. Good point, yeah.
And that was one, like back in 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul did not want to, in the practical sense, Paul didn't want to receive monetary gain. He was trying to show the distinction, show himself separately from that other group.
Yeah, he said, right, he says, if I do this thing voluntarily, I have a reward, I'll take your money, but I'm not doing it voluntarily, I was arrested.
When we follow Christ, or we evangelize, we're not going into the ministry exactly like Paul.
No, it, right.
We're voluntarily going in.
Correct, right.
Yeah.
Right, right, yeah. No, yeah, Paul is definitely... One of a kind, and he sets the kind. He's the pattern, for the rest of us. Yeah, but the rest of us are not apostles. Yeah.
Oh, that was one more thing.
Sure.
You did in your teaching this morning. You talked about apostles.
Right.
But you really didn't talk about apostles and how the word is used in a secondary sense. You might want to speak about that. The word apostle.
Okay. There were secondary apostles.
You talked about the 12, and he was not.
Right.
You were talking back and forth with 12, but you really didn't kind of explain the word apostle, how it's used.
Okay, I wasn't planning on doing that, but okay. We have mentioned the secondary apostles.
Some people might get the idea when they say Timothy or was apostle.
Right.
Before, they might get confused.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We did touch on it when we talked about the Lord appeared to James and the other apostles. We mentioned that that was probably talking about those secondary apostles. Well, you're right. We didn't go deep into it. Yeah, great.
Okay. Well, what Paul, to me, and what he was trying to say was the 12 apostleship came from them hanging qualification with the 3 years under the kingdom ministry. Mm-hmm. That's how they was appointed. They was appointed by him. But he was called by the resurrected Savior, and he was given the apostleship. He was called into it.
Yep.
They was appointed.
Yep.
So there was a difference, and he didn't have to qualify for those rules under there because he went to the Gentiles. So his apostleship was different than theirs.
Yep, yep, and that's exactly what he's bringing
what he's
out there.
Say.
Yep, yeah, Alex.
Does Paul have any position in the kingdom?
In the earthly kingdom,
yes.
No more than we do. No,
more than we do.
The overall kingdom. We have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So there is the kingdom of God, which includes everything.
Yeah, right.
But when you say the kingdom, I assume you're talking about the kingdom on earth.
Your millennium reign.
Right. No, we'll be in the heavenly places.
Heavenly.
Right.
With us.
Right. Right.
Okay. So it's.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Yes. That's the short answer. Yes. Because I mean, the structure of the universe and how it works is that the heavens are above the earth, and there is a connection there between the structures. But no, he's not going to be on a 13th throne sitting with the Good point. Yeah, Penny.
These guys that you see nowadays with the alligator shoes and the $1 million crosses—they are not apostles.
They are not apostles, though they call themselves apostles. Alligator shoes notwithstanding.
False apostles.
All right. All right. Thanks, y'all.